If you'll turn in your Bibles or in your pew Bibles to Mark chapter 10, I'd love for you guys to follow along because I don't have it up on the wall here. So please follow along. Mark 10, it's on page 1570. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 22, part of the story of the rich young man. Mark 10, verses 17 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, declared, all those I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This is God's word for us this evening. In the young family's Bible study and in the men's Bible study, we have been working through the Gospel of Mark, and this is a passage we have looked at just recently. In fact, the men's group looked at it on Tuesday, and as I was going through it, it kind of struck me how it fits in so well with Ash Wednesday and Lent, the Lenten season. So, but let me explain. The rich young man, or rich young ruler, as he's called in Luke, he asked the most important question you can ask. He's asking the right question that hardly anyone in Jesus' orbit, including disciples, have asked him yet. The rich young man says to him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? It is the question, and it shows that he is a prodigy of disciple in the making, a great candidate to follow Jesus. And of course, the answer is simple. In fact, Jesus has been giving the answer to this question, even though they've been asking the question, he's been giving the answer to this question throughout the Gospel of Mark. And the answer he continues to give over and over again is repent and believe. In fact, that's how he begins his ministry in Mark chapter 1. Repent and believe the good news. That was his message that he taught. That was the message he had his disciples go out and teach as well. So it's really startling that when this individual asked Jesus the most important question, Jesus does not say to him, repent and believe. Instead, he says, obey the commandments. Do you know the commandments? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Obey the Ten Commandments. And we should be like, what? Why in the world is he saying that? That doesn't sound like Jesus at all. Repent and believe. That's what Jesus sounds like. Why in the world is he saying here, obey the commandments? And if you weren't expecting that answer, then you're not also expecting the reply that the rich young man gave as well. Because if Jesus said that to you, your response would probably be, ooh, oh, I don't know if that's, I don't think I've kept the commandments. But this guy says, great, I have kept the commandments. And not only have I kept the commandments recently, I have kept the commandments since I was a boy. Which means he's never envied, never lied, always honored his father and mother. I am doubtful that he has kept all the commandments since he was a boy. Very doubtful. I don't think any of us would have the audacity to suggest that we have kept the commandments. This leads to a beautiful and very confusing verse. Verse 21, Jesus' response. It begins after the guy says, I have kept all these commandments since I was a boy. Verse 21 then says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. That is phenomenal. Can you imagine that? Jesus looking at you and loving you with this great love. And at that point, you would think, oh, Jesus loves them. So now Jesus is going to say, no, 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 you got it all wrong. You haven't kept the commandments. Let me explain to you how you are a sinner and how I've come to save you. But instead, Jesus says this. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. A third time, we are now startled. Because where in the world have we ever seen any of this, that you have to give all of your possessions to follow Jesus? That is not part of it anywhere else. We haven't seen this at all. And so all of us, Mark's first readers and anyone who's reading the gospel at this point, should be looking at this saying, I have no idea what you're doing, Jesus, here. This doesn't make any sense. I get the repent and believe in you and follow you like the disciples did. Mm-hmm. But nowhere else do we see Jesus calling anyone to give up their possessions. In fact, we know that Jesus had some wealthy followers, Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. They were all rich guys, and nowhere do we see Jesus calling them to give up their wealth. And so we have to ask here, what in the world is Jesus doing? Why is he answering the rich young man like this? Well, consider what the rich young man might have said, how he might have responded if Jesus had told him to repent and believe like he told so many people before that. My guess, if Jesus said that to the rich young man who just asked him, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, repent and believe. The young man probably would look at him and said, repent of what? Repent of what? I haven't sinned. I've kept the law. What have I done? Jesus' words would have fell on deaf ears. So instead, what Jesus is doing, he's trying to open his ears. Thank you, Brad. Trying to open his eyes to see his own sin. That's why Jesus said to the rich young man, sell everything you have and give to the poor. He was showing him that he has sin. In fact, he's trying to show this guy that he's breaking the very first of the Ten Commandments. And of course, that is the commandment that you shall have no other gods before you. Here is his chance, which is amazing to think about. Here is his chance. He asks the most important question you can ask, what must I do to be saved? And he actually gets an answer from Jesus. Sell everything you have and follow me. How many people would take Jesus up on that offer? I would think a lot of people would. For eternal life? It's amazing. The fact that he even gets an answer. Here's his chance. And he turns it down so he can keep his wealth. His wealth has become a false god. It's what he trusts in. That's why he was unwilling to give it up. In fact, I would add that he thought his own moral goodness was probably had become a false god for him as well, blinding him to his need for a savior. Which is probably why he asked Jesus. Did you notice what he asked Jesus? What must I do to be saved? What do I have to do? What act of service do I need to do, Jesus? And Jesus tells him. He says, oh, I can't. I don't know about that. Jesus was showing him that it is impossible for him to save himself. He was trying to show him the sin that he was blind to. He was trying to show him the false gods of wealth and personal morality that he was trusting in over God. And Jesus was doing this all in the hopes that it would help this guy see it. That he would be struck by his sin. And ultimately then would do exactly what Jesus calls everyone else to do. That he would repent and believe now that he realizes. Ash Wednesday and Lent are opportunities for us to remember our own mortality and to examine our own morality. Like the rich young man, Jesus wants to show us that it's impossible for us to save ourselves. He wants to show us that our goodness is not as good as we think it is. He wants to show us the sin that we are blind to. He wants to show us the false gods in our lives that we trust more than our Savior. All in the hopes that we will see, that we will be struck, and ultimately that we will also repent and believe and be renewed in Him. For the rest of this service, I encourage you as we go through these different elements of the Ash Wednesday service that you would be open to God, that you would hopefully he will reveal some things to you that you need to have revealed. He'll call you back to himself. In fact, I'd like to take a moment here to have some time of just a minute of silent prayer. And ask the Lord that. Ask the Lord to help you be open to him. Ask you to help you to reveal yourself to him, to be open to examination, and to call you back to himself. James tells us that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. So let's take a moment to silently ask God to help us be open to him, help us have our eyes open to see him, to see our own sin and our need for him. Let's pray.